Good to have you with us. Good morning, everyone. And I tell you what makes today really special. We've got some folk here with us, so it's really brilliant. And welcome to you all on our second Sunday in Advent. It's really good. And, of course, that opening video sets the scene, and we're going to be picking up some of the themes of that a bit later under our Light of Advent series, which we're currently in. But it's great to have, as I said, some of real people here. Say hi. Yeah, they're all masked up, but we can hear the muffling, that's all right. And it's also good to have those of you who are watching online and also watching the video a bit later. And I don't know if we've got anybody on the phone, but welcome to you too. It's great to have you, everybody with us. Welcome. It's good to see you. Let's pray, shall we? Let's commit our time to the Lord. So, Father God, on this really quite bright day, considering December, we thank you, Lord, that the sun and the light does shine, even though some days are very dark. But Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of the creation you've made. But Lord, thank you for that represents so much of who you are, that you are a God who continues to shed light upon this world. And Lord, as we gather in this place, or we gather in our homes, wherever it is we are watching and listening, Lord, we just want to ask that we would have hearts which are open, that, Lord, we would hear your voice, we would catch your spirits blowing through us, and that, Lord, we would hear you, and you would do your work in our hearts, and that, Lord, we'd be able to worship you and thank you for the great God who you are. So, Lord, we commit this time to you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good. Okay, firstly, a few announcements, if I could. And, of course, from a family point of view here, our love and our prayers go out to Margaret Dalton and the family this morning as our dear friend and brother David went to be with the Lord yesterday morning. So let's continue to lift and pray for Margaret and the family and that she will know God's love and God's peace at this time. But we also want to offer some huge congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Harkness. I don't know how many of you watched it online, but Joe and Ian Harkness now were married here on Friday. And if you missed it, you can catch up on Facebook on our page here. But let's continue to pray for God's blessing upon them too as they start their married life together. Now, it is communion today, as you can see, so I hope you brought some communion bread or wine or some juice or something else. So if I see you stashing a bottle somewhere, I'm sure know you've come well prepared. But if you're at home and you would like to join us, then we'd love you to have go and get some bread or a cracker and some juice or wine. That would be great. And then you can join in a bit later. On Wednesday this week, it's our worship on Wednesday. Adam and the team at Greystones, mainly his wife Jo, have been so faithful week in and week out, every couple of weeks. So that will be again at 7 o'clock, and you can catch it live on the Facebook page. And I don't know how many of you tuned in to King's Chamber Orchestra last night. Anybody tune in? I did. It absolutely marvellous. It was a lovely time, some fabulous music. Really puts you a bit into that Christmas spirit. So thanks, KCO, if you're watching. But if you missed it, then you can pick up the video again for the next few weeks, I gather. Again, if you put in kco.cool into a web browser, you'll be able to follow the links and you'll be able to find a repeat of that. And then finally, just to say, we have got coffee time, not in reality, folks, sorry. You're going to have to nip home and get on the internet to do the coffee. we have got coffee time via Zoom a bit later, and also the opportunity for some prayer and ministry. So if you've not got that Zoom link, then please leave a note in the comments and we'll make sure you get that. Okay, I think that's all that I need to be saying at this moment. I'm going to hand over to Rich. And he's going to lead us in some opening worship. Bless you, mate.
Hello, everybody. It's lovely to see you. Please, if you're here in the congregation with us, feel free to stand, you can clap, you can dance, you can hum into your masks apparently, but we'd ask you not to sing. If you're at home, then let the neighbours know that you're Christian, and make sure that they're up as well. But we're going to sing a couple of songs together before we start to focus on what Advent is really about.
Silent.
Christmassy? It's getting there, isn't it? Just a little bit. With the Christmas trees up here as well, which is brilliant. Okay, well, to help us on that journey, we're going to light our next candle on our Advent crown. It's really lovely to be able to have Sandra Reed, who's going to come and lead us in that and do that now for us. Thanks, Sandra.
Yep. The reading's taken from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. And in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray. God our Father, you spoke to the prophets of old of a Saviour who would bring peace. You help them to spread the joyful message of his coming kingdom. Help us as we prepare to celebrate his birth, to share with those around us the good news of your power and love. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Rich, but not in reality. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
So this is going to be a sort of a virtual image of you.
Hopefully at the right on the screen.
Okay, so young people.
Hello, everybody. My name is Richard Doherty. I'm the youth minister down here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I've had so many messages this week from all sorts of different people saying how lovely it was to see George again and that they've missed him.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And now, George, I just wanted to say that I was very sorry for leaving you in a bag for all of those years, and actually, I'd missed you too.
That's okay.
Really? It's all right?
Yeah, I think I got Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm? Shush you.
Okay.
Now, last week, I tried to make it up for you, didn't I? You know, you wanted to do something, and it didn't really work.
No. Jigsaw puzzles are kind of hard in the dark.
Yup, you could say that again. I thought doing jigsaws in the dark was nigh on impossible. And I was wondering if there was anything you wanted to do this week instead to make up for all that time you spent, you know, in the bag, which I'm really sorry about.
Ooh, could we go on a night hike?
A night hike?
Yeah, a really, really dark night hike.
Well, I think that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah!
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing!
Well then, let's go! George, are you okay?
No, me ankle.
What's wrong?
It's not really been like that.
Oh, dear George, I think we're going to have to get you to a vet's, aren't we?
Yeah.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to ring a friend of mine, okay, and see if he can come and help us out. Right, here we go. No, it's George. He's hurt really bad. Oh, I think he might have broken his ankle.
Ooh.
Can you come here right away? Well, that'll be fantastic. Yes, please, blue flashing lights. See you soon. Bye. It's okay, George, you'll be here soon. You'll be here soon.
Oh, it's cold. It's so cold.
Look, you're all right. Don't be dramatic.
I can't feel my legs.
I know you can't feel your legs, but look, okay, here he is. He's a nice man. He's going to come and rescue you now.
Hello.
He's in a real bad way. Do you think you could get into the vets really quick
get
for us?
The vet, yeah.
Thank you so much.
There's lots of bright lights. You're okay, George. I'll hand you over.
Here we go.
Thank you so much. Oh, wow. Well, everybody, you'll be really pleased to know that George is okay.
Yeah, just a strain.
Just a sprained ankle. He didn't break any bones.
I don't have a skeleton.
No, no skeleton, no broken bones. But that story reminds me of something that happens in the Bible about Christmas.
Really?
Yes. You see, there was someone in the Bible called Isaiah who lived a long, long time before Jesus came. But God told him about the very first Christmas hundreds of years before it happened. And he said that it would be like people stuck in the darkness, just like you and me, George, when you hurt your leg. The bright light would shine for all to see.
Like the car!
Yeah, like the police car and the blue flashing lights and our very special friend from Dorset Police who came to save us.
Just like Jesus!
Well, I think Jesus is a little bit cooler. We're going to sing a song now about marching in the light. Okay, we want you to join in with us too. You ready?
Yeah!
Okay, so we're going to sing this song, We Are Marching in the Light of God, which is a traditional, I don't know if you say it properly, but Xhosa song. And there's actually, if we can get verse 4 up, there's a bit in another language which is interesting for people back home or people who are feeling adventurous, which is Zia Humba Ekuka Nyenkwen Kos. Okay, you're not allowed to sing anyway, but it's just so you can hum along with me. Sia humba ekuka nyen kwen kos. Okay, sia humba, humba, sia humba, oh, sia humba kuka nyen kwen kos. Okay, and we'll see if we can get that going at home. If it works, send us a video of you singing it, and hopefully we don't butcher someone else's culture this morning. But we're going to sing the English verse, which is We Are Marching in the Light of God. Here we go. We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. We are living in the light of God. 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 We are living, we are living. Oh, we are living in the light of God. We are living, living, we are living. Moving in the light of God. We are moving in the light of God. We are moving, we are moving. Oh, we are moving in the light of God. We are moving, moving, we are moving. Oh, we are moving in the light of God. See a humble heck and you can cross. See a humble heck and you can cross. See a humble cook and yen quank us. See a humble cook and yen quank us. See a humble, humble, see a humble. Oh, see a humble cook and yen quank us. See a humble, humble, see a humble. Oh, see a humble cook and yen quank us. Hey! Fantastic. That was lovely having some people clapping along in the background. Really good. Right, I'll just put in my earpiece again so I can hear everyone. Hopefully you've still got oxygen at home and you enjoyed that. But as well as it being fun, it is good to march in the light of God and know that we are in Jesus' company. And this next song follows those words. The light of the world came down into darkness. That Jesus left heaven to come into our darkness like that police car, only cooler. And he came to rescue people and show us the way to know God. Light of the world.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am.
Thoughts before we then share communion. Now, as I said last week, we began our short Advent series, leading us up towards Christmas, looking at light in Advent and the whole theme of light within Advent. And we were considering the power of the light and God's glory as it shines in the darkness. And that is the darkness which has settled over humanity over the centuries, and it is a long-term thing. And this week, I want us to look and to think a bit more about how God deals with the sometimes more common symptoms that presence of that darkness brings and leaves in its wake within humanity. Things like despair and hopelessness. Things like brokenness and captivity, which I believe God has dealt with. He has dealt with it, and he can help us overcome in our lives. When, of course, we allow the Christ the Messiah, the light of the world, to be the light of hope. And if we allow him to shine, I believe he deals with some of these things within our lives. Now, one of the very familiar passages heard at Christmas time is that one from the prophet Isaiah, which Sandra read to us earlier as part of the Advent Crown sort of series, from Isaiah chapter 9. Now, even though that passage was written about 700 years before Jesus was born, it picks up many of the things which we've been talking about, and that humanity, I believe, is still struggling with even today. And even though it's using unfamiliar language and seems a bit strange, the sort of setting about sort of a war and boots in mud and blood, and it doesn't sound very nice, but it's still so relevant to the 21st century, the darkness battles of the 21st century, I would put them, and the damage and therefore the needs that they leave behind. And because it's a prophetic passage, and it's God's living word, which was not only written for then, it's written for now. it's outside of time, then it will always be relevant, I believe, to man's situation here on earth. Now, the passage actually begins with that recurring imagery of the Bible and that of darkness. Darkness over the land, over the peoples. Yet in the midst of the darkness, a ray of light starts to shine. And hope is sent out across the sea with this incredible promise that it will not go on forever. It's probably a phrase you've probably never noticed in those opening words. It will not go on forever. That is so encouraging, is it not? You can talk to me. Yeah. And then it's how it develops from that point, from that raising of hope. And then almost to add weight to that statement, we come across those familiar words in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now that's quite a promise, isn't it? Especially those roles and those ministries of deliverance that this child is going to carry, is going to bear. And particularly that the emphasis, that Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Whoa, what does that mean? And how is that going to manifest itself? But you know, it's interesting, because if we see, not if we don't just keep on one passage of Scripture, but we see the bigger picture, many years later, we know that at the outset of his public ministry, Jesus, that once child who was to be born, stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth as a man and claims the fulfillment upon himself. Not just of the passage he's reading, but many others, in fact. The other prophecies about the Messiah, about the promised one, about the hope that he will bring. And he uses this other prophetic statement from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through to 3, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Aren't they wonderful words? Absolutely wonderful words. But they're so real and they're so relevant to where we are today. And if you think about it, this is the ministry and the work of the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Can you see the way God ties it all together? Absolutely wonderful. And they're all referred to and their ministry, the outworking of there in chapter 63. Which, of course, is then substantiated as we start to read the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and his ministry. He backs it up. And God, in one sense, ties it all together in Jesus, who was the child to be born. So we see, we can't just see Advent or Christmas just in one light. We need to look much further and beyond it. So Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies. And what's even more wonderful is that this promised one of God who was to come came. That was the promise, but he came and he fulfilled them all back then, over 2,000 years ago. But that same Jesus who was, who is still to come. And so we're caught in this time zone of God, which is eternity. It's difficult for us with our finite minds to get our heads around it. But that means, because he was and he is and he is to come, that means he is here now. He is here now, today, in 2020. And he's here with us this morning. He's sitting here with us by his Spirit. And so this message from Isaiah 9 and other passages, of course, declare, which other passages declare, is that he goes way beyond Christmas. Way beyond Christmas. It's not just for churchgoers either. Nor is it just a message for first century Palestine. Nor is it a message for us just here in the town of Swanage. Or even just for the Isle of Purbeck. No, it goes way beyond. It's a message for our nation. It's a message for our world, is it not? A message for the whole of humanity. And as you look into it, you discover it's the only true message of hope to a dying, hurting world. The only one of real truth and reality and a testimony that it does work. The very fact that the church is still going. You and I are sitting here, standing here in 2021. Sorry, 2020. I hope you're going to be standing here as 2021 as well. But it's because it works. It's real. It's real. And it's a message of help to see mankind released from his darkness. And God has dealt with it. And he's given us a way out. And for those really important things, which as far as God's concerned, are a much higher priority than a lot of what the world would put out there. Going way, way beyond, I believe, just the shallow, temporary, fix-it packaging which comes with Christmas and even with life, dare I say, in our world. The gift of the child can and will deal with the deeper issues of darkness that are all around us and actually lodge within us. He's the same God today as he was in those prophecies of thousands of years ago. He's the same God as the one described and recorded about in that nativity story. He is the living God who's reaching out into our lives with the precious gift of his Son. This is not a fairy story which we're thinking about and celebrating. It's not just a nice little story to hang a festival around. No, we're talking about reality of humanity here. Even though the world might try and wrap it up with all glittery things and paste it on Christmas cards and think, oh, isn't that nice? Story of a little baby and a child. Hey, it's more than that. It's authentic. It's relevant. It's true for real living in the 21st century. He is, as we've just been seeing, the light of the world. And he brings light to each person if we'll turn to him. Now, last week, we recognized that the darkness that pervades mankind is really about a moral or spiritual lostness that humanity has. And it has its roots in much more significant battle than on the earthly realm. The battle is taking place in the spiritual realms between the enemy of God, Satan, and God himself. And it's a battle for the human heart and the human soul, with humanity being the pinnacle of God's creation. So the enemy is going to fight to try and steal that. And the lies and the deception that the devil sows into that fight leads mankind, I believe, down a dark and unhelpful roads and away from truth, away from light, and into rebellious actions that cause us to sin and bring devastation to life. Now, we ignore that. We don't think that's true. We don't think that's real. We have our own choices. No. It's much deeper. And yet, if we allowed ourselves to sit in that place, I tell you, we would become defeated. We would feel crushed. But no, the battle is won. I said this and I used this picture last week. The battle is won. We need to hear it again today and again tomorrow and again every single day. The battle is won. through who Christ is and what Christ has done. Jesus is the light. And through him, he brings that light into our lives and into our situations, whatever we might be facing, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, things like hopelessness and despair, alongside brokenness and feeling bound and trapped in captivity, and many other things, are feeding the internal war going on within our souls, deep within humanity. But in and through Christ, we can overcome. He has defeated these things that can hold us captive. The light that is Christ can and will shine, even in the blackest of situations. He brings hope to drive away the despair, healing and wholeness to remove the brokenness, and freedom to set the captives free. You'll have heard the phrase, and we all use it, light at the end of the tunnel. Why do we say that? Why do non-believers say that? Why do people who don't believe in God say that? Light at the end of the tunnel. I'll tell you why. It's because we all want to be free of the darkness. We all want to be set free and flee, along with the fear and the insecurity that darkness brings. We want to be released. We know we're held and we're trapped and we're captive. The tunnel of the moment may be dark as you walk through it, as you face things. But the light is there. He's there with you, even though you can't see it, but he is definitely there at the end. Now, I don't want to make light of the struggles which we all go through from time to time. Some, I can assure you, are really tough, even in life and death scenarios. But the light does and can still shine in the midst of that darkness. The wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, which we've heard spoken of and which we've been thinking about, can become a reality. He reigns. He is in control, and his light does shine. But we need to allow him to reign. We need to allow that light to shine. To have, as the passage in Isaiah 9 goes on to say, to let him have his government and his rule in our lives. To allow that which is the light to shine. But that's the hard bit, isn't it? That's the toughie. Because we don't always want to let go. We want to hang on to it because we actually feel more secure in some of our issues and in the darkness than actually being exposed to the light. Because it is a searching light, but it's also a healing light. But if we do let go, if we will allow God, I believe those promises will be fulfilled for us. God's will and purposes will be unfolded for us. He can be trusted to fulfill his promises. There are so many promises, aren't there? Whether it be within politics or bosses at work or whatever. Oh, well, I'll do this, I'll be able to do that. I tell you, a lot of those fail, don't they? They're not fulfilled, but God can be trusted. His promises will be fulfilled. And, you know, when we think about these dark times, let's face it, despair and hopelessness has definitely grown within many for this year as a result of COVID-19 and the virus thing, through fear and illness and even death, through lack of freedom and rebellion. You know, when lockdown was, there was a desperation for humanity, want to break out, want to be free. And of course, where jobs have got lost, despair sets in, and broken relationships, pressures within the family because of lockdown, all those sorts of things, they're very, very real. And we could talk about many other levels, nationally, internationally. It's all taken its toll. And it's taken its toll on all of us. Some more than others, perhaps. And it adds, and has added, I believe, and that's why some people have found it so hard, and it's caused mental health issues, is because it's already adding to another layer of darkness on that which is already there within the human spirit. The darkness wants to invade. It wants to encroach. It wants to steal away the light. That's why the light needs to be brighter and shining as strong as we allow it to be. So let's not be trapped. Let's not be lied to in that place of darkness. There is hope. There is hope. There is another dynamic to life. And you know, hope has got a name. Hope has got a name. And his name is Jesus. Do I hear hallelujah? No, muffled. Understandable. It's difficult, isn't it, with a mask on. But I tell you, this is what it's about. Hope has a name. He came as a child, but he grew to be a man, the man of God. And he died and he broke the power of sin and death and hell so that you and I could have hope. That's it. And this is what we celebrate. This is what we're coming to. Jesus is able. And he desires to bring us a way forward. Where there is light, then there is also hope. Because if it's the true light, there will be hope. That's the promise which God has for us. No matter how dark the situation, nothing, no one, and no power at all, on any level, in the whole of creation, can snuff it out. We're coming to communion now in a few minutes. And we can put ourselves back into the place of light and hope. It gives us this light and hope. That's why God's given it to us. That's why simple emblems of bread and wine are there. Because he says, I am the light of the world. I can bring you hope. And that's what it's all about. We're going to sing one other song, which I think fits beautifully in preparing us for communion. And it's all about surrendering who we are before God. Thanks.
Giving you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams and I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And
probably caught at the end of what I was saying, at the end of those words, some familiar words. And I'd like to read you those familiar words now. Anybody spot them? Sort of an inference towards them? I'm not going to pick you out. I won't be mean. Romans 8, verses 37 to 39. Listen to this. This is God's promise. No, despite all these things, and I put in brackets, even the darkness which would seek to encroach upon us. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Hey, you feeling privileged? No power in the sky above or on the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whoa. So, come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you and made you his. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let's take a moment, let's pause, just to give God that fresh opportunity just to scan our lives with the light of his presence. And if he happens to highlight anything, any area of darkness, let's ask God to remove that from us. And then we'll pray the prayer of confession together. Let's pray these prayers together, this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you, the sins of the past and of the present, those hidden and forgotten, as well as those remembered, my sins of thought and desire, of word, of deed, and of omission, the sins that I am too dull of heart to see, the sins that others can see and I cannot, the sins known to you alone. I am sorry for all of them. I ask you to forgive me through the merit of Jesus, my Saviour. Please renew your life in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So if you've got your bread with you, and if you're at home, then take that bread. If it's a cracker or whatever it is, then break it. Just break it up. Because that's what Christ did for you. He allowed himself to be broken so that your brokenness could be healed. He wants to set us free. And he can. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you for giving us a simple feast like communion, which reminds us so powerfully of the immense sacrifice and the depths you went to in order to break the bounds which would keep us captives. That, Lord, your light, even though it was snuffed out temporarily, humanly speaking, burst out of the grave with victory, driving out the darkness, so that, Lord, we can be living in the light today. Thank you, God. And as we take this bread now, help us, Lord, to remember the wonder of what you have given to us. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's eat together. And then, of course, any body which is broken spills blood. And that's what happened to Christ. His body was pierced, and his blood was poured out. His blood was poured out so that it would seal our forgiveness and our relationship with him. And that's why we can read words which are given to us there in Romans 8, that nothing can ever separate us again from Christ. Because Christ's blood was shed. That's the seal of our redemption. That's the seal of our salvation. And it's because of Christ. So let's drink and say with grateful hearts and thanking God for what he's done for us. Amen. And now I'd like to just pray a short prayer in the light of Advent, really, but summarizing what we've just been thinking about and what we've just celebrated. Father, just as you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus, help me to clear the path in my heart to you. Show me the distractions in my life that block me from all-out worship of you this Advent. Lord, I await your coming. As I celebrate the first Advent, the first coming, I look toward the day where I will see you face to face. I imagine what it will be like. Give me a heart, Lord, that looks for your coming on a daily basis. Help me to live my life where I'm constantly seeking your presence. My offering to you today is my righteous life, for I know I am only clean because of Jesus. Show me today how I need to be refined, purified, forgiven. Give me the strength to ask for forgiveness and then to change my ways. Lord, may the light of the world shine in me and through me. For the King and for the Kingdom. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. Rich.
Okay, Mark's asked if we could finish with Build Your Kingdom Here. The idea that Jesus came in as light but wants us to join in with him with what he's doing. So let's go out as we mean to go on for the rest of the week.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wild. The hurt, the sick, the poor, at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church, and we pray revive this earth. Oh, build your kingdom here, let the dark. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power. Reach in the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing heart. 'Cause you made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, and we are the hope on earth. We'll build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, we've got be able to, we've been using videos, as you all know, of people being able to lead us in the grace. We have somebody live, which is great, isn't it? I know you're all alive at home, really. But we're going to close by saying the grace, and Stanley is going to lead us. So feel free to join in, please. Thank you, Stanley.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.